You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour on this Friday. We've had a good week, if we do say so. A lot of good guests, kicked a few things around. Going to be joined shortly by Gavin Brindley, and we are fired up for this interview. We are so happy for him and his family and what he has accomplished in the last 12 months, and we'll be honored to have him on the show. But NBA and NHL playoffs getting underway this weekend, less than a week away from the draft. It's a fun time to be doing a sports talk show. There's no doubt about that. If you don't know the story of Gavin Brindley, he's 19 years old. Born and raised in Southwest Florida. His dad, Ryan Brindley, you know, longtime Everblade. And, well, Gavin's, he's got the genes and then some, because he's been a part of Team USA in juniors, has won a bronze and a gold medal playing for Team USA in the World Juniors. Went to the University of Michigan for a couple of seasons, helped lead him to the Frozen Four both times. Was just voted Big Ten Player of the Year and leading him back to the Frozen Four, and was drafted very early second round in last year's NHL draft by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so his college season ended just in time for the Blue Jackets to call him and say, hey, you want to play a game with us before your offseason? And so he suited up in the NHL at 19 years of age, Tuesday night in Columbus, and got about 14 shifts, got a little power play time, played a little over 12 minutes, and can only imagine how that felt. And we will find out right now, because Gavin Brindley is kind enough to join us. Gavin, it's David and Mark. Thanks so much for your time, and congratulations. How are you?
No, of course. Appreciate you guys having me. It's crazy past couple days, but it's been great.
Well, what was it like, the rookie lap, getting out on the ice? I mean, this is something you've dreamed about your whole life. Take us into that locker room and onto the ice for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really put it into words, to be honest. Being in that locker room with all those guys, and it's pretty crazy. You're a 19-year-old kid, and these guys have been around the league for, some guys, maybe more than 10 years. And it's extremely special, especially in Columbus. I think it's such an underrated city, and they're building something special here, so really exciting for sure.
Was your head spinning? Because, you know, I just detailed while we were getting you on the line, your last 12 months, and really about 14 or so if we want to go back to even last year's World Juniors, you've represented Team USA twice in the World Juniors, all right? You've been drafted in the second round. You've helped lead Michigan to back-to-back Frozen Fours. I mean, it's been a whirlwind 14 or so months. Was your head, I know it's a cliche, but was it spinning a bit Tuesday, or did you realize, holy blank, I'm in the NHL?
I mean, a little bit. You go when you walk out and you're your first lap in that rink, it's pretty special. But I feel like I played in a lot of big games, and to me it was just another hockey game. And as soon as I got on the ice, everything just kind of slowed down and felt normal. So obviously you're nervous leading up to that because you don't know what to expect, but as soon as I got out there, it was all good.
When did you make the decision that you were going to sign? Was this something you'd thought about all through the year at Michigan, or did it come later in the year? When did you make the decision to turn pro?
A little bit, not too much in the year, but it was Monday morning, the day before the game. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
So you mean a week ago today, you didn't know if you were going to go pro?
Nope. I fully thought that I was going to come back to Michigan and stay another year. But, it's crazy. It's just how it works sometimes. So,
what was the ultimate decision to end up coming to Columbus and not going back to Michigan for another year?
There was a couple factors. I think the main thing was just talking to my family and talking to my guys. It was just, I just think I was ready. That was the biggest thing, is I was ready to take that jump and play pro hockey. So that was the main one. And I loved Michigan. Loved everything about it. Ann Arbor is I think, hands down, the best college campus in the country. And my boys there, they're the best. And it's, yeah, it's a pretty incredible place.
Think about the three jerseys that you've worn in the last 12 or so months. Michigan, USA, and then an NHL jersey. I mean, I know you dream about this, and you're still obviously very young at 19, but is the last 12 months even better than what you dreamed?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, growing up, you obviously your dream is to play in the NHL, your dream is to play in the World Juniors, your dream is to play college hockey, right? So it's pretty crazy just being able to achieve those things and kind of just move up and down the list, to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, like, winning the World Juniors was had to have been up there for probably the coolest thing ever. Playing in Sweden, winning in Sweden in front of their fans, sold out rink, and just to see a yellow, that's pretty cool. Obviously, we lost in the Frozen Four 2 years in a row, which sucks, but both year we had unbelievable teams and a great group of guys. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a little bit of a crazy past couple of years, but it's been amazing.
As you well know, spending time in Ann Arbor and Columbus don't seem to get along that well. What do you do with all your Michigan gear? Can you still wear that around Columbus, or did you have to just give that to Dad?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be wearing that stuff around anymore. So I haven't really thought about it. I gotta drive back today to Ann Arbor and grab all my stuff. So I haven't really thought about that yet, but maybe I'll get to my little brother. That'll probably be the best move.
I was going to say, did you even have proper clothes to go to the rink with since you decided so late? I'm guessing everything you had was Michigan.
Yeah, I was pretty – I mean, I had three sets of clothes and a suit, so day three is today, so I got to get out of here now.
What's next for Gavin Brindley? Obviously, Columbus's year is done. Are you – any talk of them sending you to their A affiliate, or are you just now – off until training camp next year?
Nope, I'm off until training camp. So, just go back, have a great summer, and enjoy home, and just start training. Just come in ready for camp and ready for the season. And no, it was the first time I've had a summer like this since I was probably 12 years old. Just, you know, you have all the summer hockey growing up. So it's been, this is the first time that I actually have a full summer to train, and it'll be good.
Gavin Brindley, born and raised in Southwest Florida. Dad, Ryan, played for the Everblades. Could you just talk to us about being a hockey kid in the 239? You know, what was it like? You know, just, and then obviously you've ended up traveling the world in juniors and now the NHL. But just, you know, as a hockey kid in the 239, having the dream living in Southwest Florida, what was it like?
Honestly, I think it's the most underrated spot there is to grow up and play hockey. I mean, the weather, it's gorgeous every day. You wear flip-flops at the rink after school. Like, it's the best. But honestly, like, lifestyle-wise, it's incredible. And my family's done a great job of making sure that I appreciate that kind of stuff and don't take it for granted. But at the same time, it was a lot of travel growing up, right? Like, you're going every weekend. You're going to Detroit. You're going to Chicago, you're going to Boston, Toronto, wherever it is. So it's a lot. At the same time, I loved Florida, and I stayed as long as I could till I was 15. So, it's awesome. I can't wait to get back down there. So we'll be back soon.
It does sound like you're looking forward to this summer. I mean, as you said, since you were 12, you've been playing summer hockey. I know the schedule of travel hockey. It never seems to end. And then when you get into college and World Juniors, you've been playing hockey constantly. How important really is this break just to set your mind right?
Oh, no, it's huge. I think just physically too, right? I'm not the biggest guy in the world. And I've the most I've had to train was probably 2.5 months since I started training. So this is the first time that I have kind of a foundation and have a plan and am able to kind of get after it and have a great summer and just focus on next year. So I'm extremely excited.
Gavin Brindley, and you said you're not the biggest guy in the world, officially listed at 5'9", about a buck 70, buck 75. When did people stop telling you were too small?
No one's really stopped telling me. I think it's still, like, it kind of just keeps going. I've heard it since I was, 12, 13 years old. And it's just kind of motivating, right? I think, guys in the NHL, it's kind of trending in a smaller direction, especially if you're skilled and you think the game the right way. So I think I have that to my advantage a little bit. And yeah, it's been crazy. No, definitely a lot of criticism, but now I feel like it's kind of slowing down a little bit.
Did you get any number choice on the sweater, or did they just hand you 45 and say, here, kid, here you go?
No, that was my no choice. That was my number for development camp. So I've worn 4 my whole life, and then I wore 5 my first year of World Juniors. So they just put those together, 45. So, yeah, maybe I'll stick it out for a bit. I don't know. I kind of like it. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. I've also only played one game, so I'm not sure how much pull I have.
What have the Blue Jackets told you? Like, have they said, listen, this is what we're thinking, you know, bring you to camp, you know, maybe we'll play you in the A to start next year, or are we going to give you a chance to earn a job out of camp? Have they said anything to you?
Not much has been said, to be honest. Like, just before my first game, everyone, coaching staff, management, just enjoy it. Like, we don't care how you play. It's your first game in the NHL. You got to enjoy it. Other than that, it's just been kind of conversations about having a great summer and coming ready to camp. So I feel like, yeah, if I go have a great summer and come ready to camp, I think I have a good chance to be where I want to be. At the same time, I'm 19 years old, and if I have to spend time in the American League, like, so be it. I need to develop and spend time down there. But yeah, no, it's exciting times for sure. And yeah, I can't wait for the summer.
Gavin, you said when the game started in Columbus, it was just another game. Was there an NHL moment for you? Was there a moment when you looked up, whether it was one of your teammates, whether it was someone on the opposition, when you said, I'll be damned?
I mean, just getting dressed in the locker, right? Like, you have Johnny Gaudreau sitting across from me. Eric Branson, who's been in the league for a super long time. Sean Crowley, who's in Boston. Ivan Provorov, who I was a big Pittsburgh fan growing up, so he played for Philly and saw him pretty much every other week. I mean, just so many guys, like Elvis. There's so many guys. I can go up and down the list. Silly, Cole Sillinger, like, you're with all these guys in the locker room getting dressed, and it's like, holy.
Right.
You go from the Michigan locker room to this, and yeah, no, that was probably the welcome to the NHL moment, and obviously the rookie lap, too, is pretty special.
Gavin, congratulations. Obviously, we've been rooting and following from afar. Enjoy your summer. Say hi to your family for us, and hopefully we can talk during the fall.
Will do. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Gavin Brindley.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Diamond District Bonus Hour on this Friday, Miller and Moulton. Our poll question, NBA NHL playoffs begin in earnest tomorrow. Hell, we don't even know if the Heat are going to be in them. They're facing elimination tonight. But we got the Heat, we got the Magic, we got the Panthers, we got the Lightning. They're all alive right now. Who's going to have the deepest playoff run?
Panthers getting the majority of the vote, Lightning second. No one has voted. I really respect our voters. I thought at least one Heat fan would, or I'm picking the Heat. Not one person's picked the Heat. Smartly.
Now, the Jimmy Butler injury. I mean, Miller and Moulton are both picking the Bulls tonight, so back up the truck on the Heat there. But, I mean, Trent, I'm sure, will, you know, bet the Heat. You know, that's a boost and a sprinkle, I have a feeling. That'll be both. So, did we do it together, or was that the first time we did it? I did it as a show. The whole, would you trade your life to be Joe Borowski?
You were doing that. You were solo.
Okay. So maybe it was like the summer 05, 06, something like that. Borowski had just been released. And how about Gavin Brindley's life, huh? How about that young man? His last 14, 15 months.
Unreal. Unreal.
How good is that?
First off, just to wear the Team USA sweater.
Right.
Stop there.
One time.
Right. And then win gold representing your country.
Right. One bronze and then gold.
It's amazing.
At 18 and 19.
Right.
you're good enough to play for one of the 10 best hockey programs in the country in college, and they give you a full ride. You go to the Frozen Four both years you're there. Your second year, aren't you the MVP of the conference?
Yeah, I think he was Big Ten Player of the Year.
Right. Oh, drafted. Oh, where'd you get drafted? Like second pick of the second round? Oh, snap.
The other part of this, too, that we've never, that's never happened to our young producer here. He's right. 5 years younger than you, Trent.
I know, that was weird. Like, on the phone even, I don't know how to talk to someone that's younger than me on this show. It puts my mind in a blender.
I wish, and maybe he did it because hockey players are so polite, okay? But I wish I knew him and we could have gotten the message to him. I'll give you $100 if you call him sir. If he had called you sir, honestly, it would have made my week. But he's so polite, he might have. Anyway. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Got some time for us this morning? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ah, oh, would have been awesome. Well, and oh, by the way, Tuesday played in the NHL.
I think it's pretty cool that Columbus did that, by the way, for the end of the season. Just to get them.
Well, it's a lot of Gavin Brindley signing. And that's, you know, making that decision to not go back. And obviously he told us that he decided when the season ended.
Monday.
They threw a piece of paper in front of him, and he said,
I'll be damned.
I guess I'll sign.
Wearing number 45.
He had nothing more to prove in college. I mean, he's proven he's a winner. When Team USA won the gold in the World Juniors a few months ago, the scouts said he was one of the 3 best players on the team. Well, as a sophomore, he's the best player in the Big Ten. He's led Michigan in the Frozen Four 2 years in a row. So, you know, you could certainly argue, even if you don't know much about him, I don't know how much more you have to prove at the juniors level and the college level.
No, I got you. But, like, you know, we were having a conversation in the Twitch chat room earlier. The Capitals' leading top draft pick, BC kid. Now, he's a freshman, but he could have come up and joined the Caps, not just for the end of the regular season, but would have been on their playoff roster.
Right.
And said, no, I'm going back to college. Wow.
Right. Like 12 years ago, you know, I'm a Rangers fan. Chris Kreider went straight from college and went on it. The Rangers went all the way to the conference final. He played damn near every game for him. Straight from college. Okay. But he played 14 shifts. He played a little over 12 minutes Tuesday night. They even gave him a minute and a half of power play time.
And they won.
And they did, which they don't do a ton of that. So, born and raised in Southwest Florida, in the NHL at 19.
That's just crazy.
It's awesome.
It really is just crazy to think. I mean, Austin Matthews is a Phoenix kid, you know, yep. So it's not something that hasn't happened.
Right.
But that's a generation plus of hockey here.
Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, Gavin Brindley's dad, Ryan, played for the Everblades. And, you know, he played other places, but obviously he and his wife said, well,
they finished here.
Yeah, and they're like, well, this might not be a bad place to settle down.
No, there's a few Everblades that have finished here and never left.
Exactly.
Makes up most of the Estero Fire Department.
I think they're keeping an entire Publix in business. Former Everblades, I think, are keeping that one Publix going.
Just by themselves. Yes.
I did think it was pretty cool that he gave Southwest Florida some kudos for the hockey, just a location to play hockey. I mean, he said you don't think of it as that kind of place, but it's an underrated spot.
Well, and they've gone at the, not to bore people, but at the AAA level of youth hockey, they've gone to a statewide program. It's all run out of this building, and it's or out of that building. It hurts. It's terrific. You know, when they started going to Quebec, into Toronto, into Detroit for these tournaments, they would get looked at and laughed at, and then they started beating all these teams.
Exactly.
And at one point, I think when, you know, Gavin and Seamus Casey played on the same team with the Junior Everblades, and they were considered, I believe, if not the top team in their age bracket, they were one of the top three in the country.
So,
and Seamus Casey is at Michigan. He's a Devils prospect that also is from Southwest Florida.
And we were excited to be able to get Gavin on. Okay. I think his story is cool, and it's very much a 239 story also.
Absolutely. And for at least today, we can do 239 only type stories. That might not be the case next week, David.
No, Monday.
Hour four is expanding.
Yes. Monday, we're in, we're in Jacksonville for hour four. Okay. They're not going to promote it, though. That's what they told me. Going to make sure the equipment works, make sure the show's actually airing.
I like their style.
Right.
That's very much a Miller and Moulton. We are the soft open.
Yes, very much so.
Soft being the key word.
Yes, you're going to see a comedian, okay, and all of a sudden somebody walks out and they go, hey, they weren't on the playbill. What? Okay, that's Miller and Moulton.
The soft open.
You go to the concert and it's like, wait, I didn't realize they had an opening act. Huh, I must have found these guys on the street. Yeah, all right, let's see what they're all about.
So Lightning Panthers get going on Sunday. Heat try to survive tonight. NHL playoffs get going in full tomorrow.
Some fascinating matchups. It was a terrific NHL regular season. It really was. I think it was I was very disappointed in the NBA regular season. I just felt that we went through long stretches of teams not playing hard.
Who was your preseason cup preview, David?
Oh, I had the Dallas Stars beating, I think, Carolina.
That's what I thought. You had them beating Carolina.
Yeah, I have Dallas beating Carolina before the season started for the cup.
What did you have, Mark?
Go find the tape.
I thought he had Colorado.
I had Colorado beating Toronto. Just to drive the Leafs fan even more crazy.
He toyed with the idea of an all-Canadian final. I remember now the segment in my head. You toyed with Edmonton, Toronto, and of course you were going to pick the Leafs to lose. Okay, but you changed it and went with Colorado. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when. Some final thoughts, a boost, and a sprinkle. All coming up.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. The Diamond District Bonus Hour edition of Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Hell of a show today. I mean, we talk Lightning Panthers, we talk the Heat. Talked NFL with Pat. Just had a really nice interview with Gavin Brindley, who's made the NHL at 19, born and raised in Southwest Florida. He's a Columbus Blue Jacket. That is awesome. So download what you missed. MillerMoulton.com.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Not a lot today, but most of them are biggies, David. 1775, we start. The biggie. The shot heard around the world. The American Revolution began today.
Oh, I thought you were talking Bobby Thompson.
I knew you would. That's why I started with the 1775.
Right, good. Okay.
1897, the first Boston Marathon was run. 1943, Dr. Albert Hofmann, who invented acid, does acid for the first time. Thank you, Dr. Hofmann.
Somebody actually took note of that? Somebody, like, wrote that down?
Well, the guy who invented it did, yeah. And then we were all allowed to trip because of it.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
1963, Johnny Cash releases Ring of Fire. 1986, Michael Spinks beats Larry Holmes in 15 for the title.
Was that the first time or the second time? Because the first one, he beat him. He did. Holmes was trying to tie Marciano's record. I think he was 48-0. And Spinks beat him. And he did. Holmes was angry, but Spinks beat him. They had a rematch. Holmes beat him, and they gave Spinks the decision.
Today in 1995 were the Oklahoma City bombings. Jane Mansfield, Dudley Moore, both born today. Al Unser Jr. is 62. Kate Hudson is 45, and the answer is still yes. Troy Polamalu is 43. Joe Mauer, 41. Candace Parker, 38. And Maria Sharapova is 37. What did I miss, David?
You know, every time we go to L.A., and when I say we, I mean, you know, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and we have a game in L.A., Joe is very good friends with Kate's brother. And so because of it, he's become very good friends with her. And so literally every time we're in L.A., they're in the booth. And every time I see her, I think of you.
I don't know if I'd be able to speak.
I know that. I know that. There are very few people in which, and you've been around quite a few famous people.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you shook Donald Trump's hand before he was President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. You've been around people who are a big deal. But for various reasons, I know you would have tremendous difficulty being yourself around Kate Hudson.
Either that or I just try to turn it on and see what happens, you know?
Really? the first wedding of the century in the 20th century was today in 1956. The hell with this whole Chuck and Die thing. And you know how much I love the whole Chuck and
Die
thing. Right,
but this is the real wedding of the century.
This is Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier of Monaco. Okay? They got married today in 56.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's, you know, it's, you don't have all the, it's Monaco, the principality.
It right.
Comes with all the royalty and none of the fuss.
8 month courtship. Okay, he proposed. What kind of a life are we going to have? Well, I'll give you the country. Oh.
The best life is what you're going to have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go across the pond for the good, where David Clarkston, and I'm sorry, he's from the UK. He actually lives in Australia. So we go to Australia for the good. I misread that. That's on me. But the retired David Clarkston, 69 years old, broke a record by visiting 120 pubs in 24 hours. He broke the Guinness Book of World Records that was previously held by two men who did 99 pubs in 24 hours. He did 120. Now, I'll give him credit for the record, but I did find out that most of the drinks were non-alcoholic. He had a lot of soft drinks, a lot of juices. He had a pint when he broke the record, but it's not like this guy had drinks in 120 pubs.
Well, first off, since you break that down, that's 5 pubs an hour for 24 hours. So that's every 12 minutes he's got to be in a different pub. I would think he spent more time traveling from pub to pub than he actually spent in the pubs.
That sounds about right.
So he had to consume a beverage.
Had to do 125 milliliters in every place he was in. Had to have a drink of some sort.
Wow. First off, I'm impressed to just go to 120 different establishments in 24 hours.
Right.
Once again, this goes back to the whole, we have to get rid of the Guinness Book of World Records. We have to stop all this nonsense.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But I just like this guy's effort.
We got to get people to put their effort towards something that, you know, is productive, that contributes to society at large. Spinning a lawnmower on your chin. We had one of those earlier in the week. Now we got a guy visiting 120 pubs in 24 hours. We're not making society better.
We go to North Carolina for the bad, where a group of people thought it would be a good idea to pull a bear cub out of a tree so they could take selfies with it.
Let me guess, the cub went all
No. Bear. They took the pictures. They let the cub go. But fortunately for them, mom didn't come back. But now the North Carolina Wildlife Resources had to take the bear, and they are going to rehabilitate it because they're afraid mom won't come back now because all the humans have touched the bear. I wish the mom would have shown up and gone mama bear on all of the idiots that were taking selfies with the bear.
Well, that's usually when you're in the most trouble, right? When
yes.
When mom's got her cubs around.
Got that right. Finally, the ugly. We go back to Southwest Florida and Bonita Springs, where fortunately no one was hurt, but a Dodge Charger speeding down US 41 caught the back of a school bus, lost control, and then went head-on with another school bus.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Both buses did not have any students in them. Both drivers are okay.
What are the odds of that? Two school buses hitting head-on, neither one has any kids in it.
Thank goodness.
Right.
And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 19th, 2024.
Well, we have no hockey tonight.
No.
I just need to take a deep breath. Gear up. Got two games Saturday. The Bruins Leafs are in prime time. You know, they have to service hockey night in Canada. Got to put a Canadian team on at 7:30 Saturday night for the Canadians.
While there still is one.
Exactly. So how many Canadian teams do we have in? We got Toronto, we got Vancouver, we got Edmonton, Winnipeg, right?
Yep.
We got four. Okay. So no hockey tonight. Panthers Lightning, 12:30 Sunday, I believe on the four-letter network. So we do have NBA playoffs tonight. Got the Heat and the Bulls. That's on ESPN. Heat 1.5 to 2 point favorite. Miller and Moulton both taking the Bulls. And with our picks for the last 6 weeks, back up the truck on the Heat.
You got that right.
Man, we need a boost, a sprinkle, 16 parlay. Man.
There's nothing going for the Heat in the Hard Rock app. I thought there would be. Nothing yet, at least. I'll monitor, but.
Just the Tyler Hero boost.
Right.
25 plus points on a prop bet.
Oh, you know what? Okay, in the last 5 minutes, they must have just... It's flooded now. There's tons of boosts on the Heat.
Ton of boosts.
There's tons of boosts.
On the Heat. Any boosts on the Bulls?
No.
Okay, good. And then Sacramento, who's favored in New Orleans because the Pelicans don't have Zion. Winner to face Oklahoma City. So if you're programming for a network, worse ratings, Orlando at Cleveland, New Orleans / Sacramento at Oklahoma City.
Orlando, Cleveland's worse.
It is.
No, okay.
Well, the Thunder, at least, you know, they, for what it's worth, are the top team in the West.
Don't. There's no one in America outside of Oklahoma City who's turning on the Oklahoma City Thunder for SGA. No one.
But at least they have an SGA. And I don't know if there is that in the – you got Mitchell, you got Ben Carr. It's close.
It's apples.
It's got a lot of NBA TV written all over it is what it has, David.
I was going to say, I mean, if you're NBA TV, you're like, now that's a doubleheader. That we can invest in. Give us 7 and 9:30.
Who you got tonight, Sacramento or New Orleans?
I like Sacramento.
All right, there's a two-team parlay.
So I'm taking the road teams tonight.
Taking both road teams.
Yep. And the one's a two-point favorite, the one's a two-point dog. Obviously, it's a Friday. Everyone's playing in baseball. Marlins and Cubs are 2:20 this afternoon. Marlins are 4-15. Yeah. GM gave an interview. He came out. He said, I'm very disappointed. And I didn't know how to take that as in no blank, or is that like when your father or mother or grandparent says, I'm very disappointed in you. I didn't know which way to take it.
It's the curse.
Rays are in the Bronx to take on the Yankees. nothing jumpstarts a Rays season like when they play the Yankees.
Boy, you've got that right.
They don't like each other.
They don't, and the Yankees have something to prove. As silly as it sounds, the Yankees have something to prove against the Rays, not the other way around.
If you were to poll the Yankee players and coaching staff, all right, they dislike the Rays far more than they dislike the Red Sox.
It's not close right now.
Now, fans may be a different story, but the players, yeah, that's their team that they don't like, the Rays. Rays only 2.5 back of the Yankees in the East. They're doing that whole Tampa Bay Rays thing again. I have no idea how they're winning games. I really don't. Bunch of good series. Got a bunch of teams with winning records that are playing one another. So, if you're into baseball, anyway, which apparently four of you are.
Everybody's into their team, David. That's all they're into.
I know. So, that's what's going on. I am encouraged with what I think I'm learning about the draft. I think we're going to have a lot of deals. I think it's going to be nuts. I do. And I think it's going to be a lot of small deals, too. I think it's going to be a lot of just moving around. Not necessarily I'm giving up 19 things for one guy, but there are so many teams that don't have second-round picks. And I have just got to believe that those teams are going to desperately try to move down. And you got a bunch of teams that have second- and third-round picks. It'll be like, well, great, I can move up. I can get a wideout. I can get a tackle.
Yeah, Arizona, I don't see trading out, but I could see Arizona moving back into the first round if there's someone they like, because they've got so much capital in rounds 2 and 3.
And they have 2 first-round picks, so they could take 27, even if they don't trade 4. They could take 27 with their other capital, and they could move up.
Right.
I think
and
we're going
we
1, 2, 3.
We are doing.
Go ahead.
We are doing, and Trent... Okay, since apparently you're looking for a reason to stay up late and then come in late to work the next day, Thursday night, put it on your calendar, the Miller and Moulton Twitch draft. And you can drink at it.
I have had a fair amount of friends and family text me saying they're looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing you drink, Trent, because apparently you're good at it. You've been doing it a lot this week, and I'm proud of you for it. Someone's got to keep up on this show.
Right, because we've turned into mushes, and that's not just our gambling.
I rolled that NBA 2-team parlay for you, David. We got both road teams. We put a little money on it.
Is that a boost or a sprinkle?
It was a sprinkle.
Okay.
Just a sprinkle.
All right.
No boost on that parlay. If there was, we'd have taken both, David, a boost and a sprinkle. Hope everybody has a boost and a sprinkle this weekend.
Do you think the women in your life would know what that is if you looked them in the face and say, hey, I was listening to Miller and Moulton, honey, and they say we should have a boost and a sprinkle?